Morning, Devin. It's good to see you again. Still, some of you came in during songs after I said good morning already, so good morning for you, I guess, first time. If you're new, I do want to welcome you, and you're probably wondering why you came today. I am Pastor Bert, and today we're going to be looking at a topic that I have found has caused some confusion for many of us at times. It's the topic of prayer. And let me give you a little example. It's a cute story I found. A little boy knelt beside his bed to say his prayers. He began his typical six-year-old prayer when suddenly he stopped, looked up in frustration at his parents, and declared, "I am tired of praying for Aunt Ellen to get married, Uncle Ron to get better, Mommy to lose weight, and Daddy to get a raise. Can't we get some results for this family?" And while this may make us chuckle, I think each of us have experienced this kind of frustration and confusion, right, with prayer. Yet, at the same time, many of us have experienced what seem like miraculous answers to our prayers. Even maybe if at some times it may seem just a bit coincidental, right? Yet, as William Temple, former Archbishop of Canterbury, once said, he said, "When I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't, they don't." I love that. Yet the apparent inconsistency of answered prayer is often what makes us confused and even frustrated at times. Can I get an amen? Why did God answer this prayer but not that prayer? Especially when we read in the Bible what appears like promises of his answering our prayers, like we read this morning in Psalm 91. It can cause us to question, maybe even doubt, either God's integrity or our own faith, right? Now, I'm not claiming to have all the answers to these questions, so if you're looking for that, you're at the wrong place. But I do think that when we take a closer look at God's promise to answer our prayers, we'll find that it's not a false promise, but rather, it's an open invitation. One of the passages that people struggle with in the Bible comes from Jesus himself. It was recorded by his closest friend and follower, John. And this is what he said: "If you remain in me and follow my teachings, you can ask anything you want and it will be given to you. You should produce much fruit and show that you're my followers, which brings glory to my Father." You know, as a pastor, I've found that it is a good practice in determining what a passage like this is saying by identifying what it is not saying. Jesus is not saying that God gives us whatever we want when we want it, even though he says, "Ask anything you want," right? Because as we'll see, this promise is conditional, which means that it contains both a context in which it was written and a condition, which we'll look at in a moment. Now, one thing that Jesus is not saying is that you have the power to dictate to God what he must do. God does not exist to satisfy every whim of his children, any more than a good and loving father exists to be a vending machine for his kids, giving them whatever they want, right? So then what is Jesus actually saying here then? Well, when we inspect this passage, we find that there are three powerful points regarding Jesus' promise to answer our prayers. And the first point is that we need to recognize the context of the promise. If you have your outlines, you might want to fill that in there. The context of the promise is our first point. Now, the first rule, the very first rule, the most important rule of biblical interpretation is this: context is king. You can write that in too if you want. Context is king. Without considering the proper context, a text can become isolated, which can lead to errors and unreal expectations that do not end up coinciding with what the rest of Scripture says. When the context is ignored, it can leave us confused about what God is really saying to us. And we can get shaken because we're confronted with the idea that this faith thing doesn't work. We can become disappointed with God. We can think that maybe we're not faithful enough, or we don't trust him enough, or we don't have enough people praying, or we don't have the right people praying. And we can get hung up on a whole number of other factors. That all depends on us. 7 times within the context of John 15 here, where today's text is found, 7 times Jesus refers to the expectation of his followers bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. So this shows us that the context is bearing fruit. Fruit bearing is the context which he makes this promise of answered prayer. And you find that clearly in the text. When Jesus says that his followers glorify God by bearing much fruit, it shows us that God desires for the lives of his followers to be fruitful. It's not an option. What's that mean? Well, we know there are 2 types of fruit that are mentioned in the Bible, and I don't mean strawberries and cherries and all that stuff. Those are lots of different kinds of fruits. But in our lives, what kind of fruit can we bear in our lives? God says that both of these 2 types of fruit, should be and must be found in the life of every follower of Jesus. In fact, one form of fruit actually leads to the other. And I've said this a few times because it's so important for us to get this, folks. The first is explained in the letter written by the early church leader, we know as Paul, to the church that was in Galatia in modern Turkey. He says this: the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So he's talking about fruit. What kind of fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things, he says. So that doesn't sound like grapes and apples and oranges and lemons, right? What is that about? Well, it's our character traits, right? The things that make us like God. The things that his Spirit is within us producing. Paul's talking about the traits that make for a godly character. Traits that reflect the qualities of Jesus. These are the fruit of his Spirit in us that transform our lives to be like him. These are the traits that attract people to God through our words and actions. And this attraction leads to the second kind of fruit that Jesus expects from his followers, and that is to produce more followers of Jesus. The early church historian named Luke records Jesus using this metaphor of fruitfulness to describe the people who didn't yet believe in him as a harvest waiting to be collected. He said, there are a great many people to harvest, but there are only a few workers. So pray to God who owns a harvest that he will send more workers to help gather his harvest. We, followers of Jesus, who have the fruit of his Spirit evident in our lives in order to attract people to God, are the workers he sends into this world. The reason God wants us to bear this kind of fruit in our lives is so that he can produce the second kind of fruit through our lives. So he produces his character in us to produce new followers for him, right? When our prayers become more about the needs of those who don't yet know God, then the more our desires will come in line with his desires. and the more he will answer our prayers. And when we're living to bear fruit for our God, who is the owner of the harvest, right? Then we can be sure that he will meet our needs as well. Listen to how Paul explained it to the church in Corinth, Greece. He said, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have enough, everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I love how Paul says, God is not just a provider. He doesn't just provide for us, but he's generous towards us. He's generous with us so that we can have a bigger bank account. No. So that we can be generous. He takes care of everything we need. We don't need to hoard anything up, right? So he gives us more to share with others. Again, for what purpose? The purpose of bearing fruit by meeting other folks' physical and spiritual needs. We are blessed to be a blessing. Not to hoard it, but to share it. To show them God's love in practical ways. Ways that meet their needs so that they can experience God's goodness towards them through us. And be drawn to give their lives to him as well. Which, as Jesus says in our text, brings much glory to God. This is the context in which God promises to answer our prayers. When we're living fruitful lives, right? So another equally important point we find then, when it comes to understanding Jesus' promise to answer our prayers, is the condition of the promise. So I've spoken of this before as well, but again, so many people get mixed up in what they think are unconditional promises when there's actually a premise or a condition attached to that promise. This is called the premise for the promise. You see, as I've mentioned before, every promise has a premise. There is always a condition attached for it. You need to look for that when you see a promise. Again, the condition is mentioned over and over throughout the context. It's found at the beginning of the statement that we looked at already today. It says, if, that's a good word to always look for, if you remain in me and follow my teachings, you can ask anything you want and it will be given to you. That's quite a condition, right? He says, we must remain in him and follow his teachings. A more thorough translation of the original Greek shows us that it means to literally give our lives completely to Jesus. Living for him, listening for his voice to guide us, as we looked at last week. If you missed that, go on online to YouTube. You can watch that on there. That means that we're listening for the Spirit's promptings, right? And we're obeying what he's already shown us the right way to live in the Bible in order to experience the best life possible. You know, this is more than just knowing what the Bible says, isn't it? It's about living it out daily. Immediately following our text, Jesus gives us the reason why we should do this. He says this, when you obey me, you are living in my love. Just as I obey my Father and live in his love. I've told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your cup of joy will overflow. I love that. You know, so often people, I've run into them, they think that God just, he's a spoil sport wanting to ruin all my fun in life, right? But nothing is further from the truth. The reason God's puts these conditions on his promises, especially this one, is to protect us from ruining our own lives, right? And the lives of others. How? Well, by not giving us what we think we want, but what we actually need. Let me give you an example. I've got a nice picture here. I hope it's up there. There it is. Yes, as a kid, I was infatuated with two things: machine guns and racing cars. So if my parents would have given me everything I wanted as a kid, no conditions, unconditional, it would have been pandemonium on St. Lawrence Avenue. Let me tell you, somebody might have got a hurt. Or worse. Here's the thing. Jesus doesn't always give us what we want because he wants our lives to be filled and overflowing with joy. And that sounds pretty good to me. I want more joy in my life, but you know what? I don't always know what will give me more joy in my life. Having all that stuff, I would maybe give me a couple seconds of joy until something went drastically wrong, right? Then that joy would be turned to sorrow. He does the other. He turns our sorrow into dancing. Too often through my life, and probably even at times today, the things I think will bring me joy just end up bringing pain in the end. And that's why Jesus says to stay connected to him. He knows us inside and out. He knows exactly what we need. And he knows what will bring the most joy and satisfaction in our lives. So trust him and obey what he's told us in the Bible, and you will receive exactly what you need for a joyful and fulfilling life. Now, the third point is maybe even more important for us to realize when it comes to God's promise to answer our prayers, and that's the certainty of the promise. Why do I say it's more important? Because, as I referred to at the beginning, this area can give us a lot of confusion. Many of us have become confused or calloused by the seemingly unanswered prayers in our lives. But I hope that now you can see and maybe, oh, that makes a little bit more sense. I understand now that there's a context for that promise. And I had some, you know, expectations that were unreal. They weren't real. I was looking for stuff that he never promised. And as you follow the conditions that he has of staying close to him, staying connected to him, abiding in him, then you will receive that promise. God will keep up his end of the bargain. The Bible gives us many examples from the lives of all kinds of people throughout history, showing us that God is true to his word. Paul explains this in his letter to the church that was in Rome at the time. He says, "Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope and overflow with confidence in his promises." So all throughout church history, including today, folks, there are testimonies of answered prayers. From lost keys being found right up to cancer being healed. Even this last week, we were at Banff and Banff National Park, and I had lost my wallet. And I thought for sure I'd left it in the Banff Springs Hotel at a restaurant there. And we spent an hour looking around, and I dropped it in the car. But we didn't know that until after we sat down and prayed, and Donna goes, "But I paid at the restaurant." I'm like, "What? You paid?" I didn't even remember she paid, because I thought I pulled out my wallet to pay, but I guess I didn't, because it was in the car. I should have paid. I would have known where my wallet was. Anyways, but you see what I mean? We sat down and instantly that memory came back to Donna. That's what happens. He helps us in little things, but he also helps us in big things. The miraculous healing of my stepfather from cancer was a big reason for me putting my faith in Jesus 45 years ago.
answered prayer opened my eyes to the reality that God cared intimately about me and my family's situation. And that's what I believe the purpose of answered prayer is for, to draw us and others closer to God. So when our prayers line up with that purpose, there is nothing, no hell or high water that can keep God from fulfilling his promises. A few paragraphs before our text, Jesus actually made a similar statement to his followers. He said, I am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it, he says. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. There's another promise with a premise, right? The condition is there. So anytime we pray, it means praying according to Jesus' will. His nature, his lordship, his kingdom, his purposes, and only for his glory. That does not mean that you should never pray for your own needs, though. Some folks think it's selfish to pray for their personal needs. But they seem to forget that God is a loving God who delights in meeting the needs of his children, right? We already read what Paul said, that he will provide what we need. He will certainly provide for you if your need is keeping you from following him and his purposes for your life. God is generous, Paul told the Corinthian church, right? He's generous. Not only provides for your needs, but gives you more than enough so you can provide for the needs of others. It's kind of a cool circle when that happens. Somebody blesses you. It's like, wow, I got this extra money. And you see somebody in need, you bless them. They see somebody else. That whole pay it forward thing starts happening, right? And it all goes around, comes around, and the cool thing is God's glorified through it. I love that. If you're trusting in Jesus, living in him, he in you, then you will start to want what he wants in and out and through your life. I love what British pastor and author Arthur Pink said in his book, Sovereignty of God. He says, real prayer is communion with God. So that there will be common thoughts between his mind and ours. What is needed is for him to fill our hearts with his thoughts, and then his desires will become our desires flowing back to him. Isn't that nice? I love that. When our desires reflect God's heart, his desires, we can be certain Jesus hears us and will answer those prayers. But maybe you've been listening to this message and you realize you don't have that kind of relationship with God. You're not even sure if he's ever answered any of your prayers. Maybe you've never even really prayed before because you just didn't know or understand who he is or how much he loves you, how much he cares about you. But right now you're feeling maybe a gentle pull inviting you into that life, coming to him, to believe in him, to follow him, to live with him. Then I encourage you to take that step today. I'll help you by praying a simple prayer that you can silently follow along with and that I hope reflects your heart's desire to start a relationship with God, to live for him and follow Jesus. If you could We can bow our heads at this time. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you could just raise your hand quickly so I know who I'm praying with, I'd appreciate that. Thank you. You're just saying, here I am, God, I need you. Dear God, thank you that you love me and you want a relationship with me. And I accept your invitation of a new life and the hope of eternal life with you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying for me and to save me from sin and death and all that we talked about today during that communion time. And God, Jesus, thank you for rising again to give me a new life of purpose that will go on forever with you. I choose today to trust you with my life right now. Thank you for hearing my prayers and always wanting what's best for me. Please lead me and help me to trust your promises so I can live my best life ever by living your way and sharing the hope I found in you. It's all these things I pray in Jesus' name today. Amen. Amen.